Good morning, everybody. I'll call this meeting to order. My name is Howard Chapman, and I'm serving as your chairperson for this meeting of the Public Services Committee. First item of business is approval of minutes from the May 2nd, 2022 meeting.
Second.
Motion made and seconded to approve the minutes. Any discussion? Hearing none, call for the question. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Next item of business on the agenda is public comment. Public comment offers individuals in the audience an opportunity to comment for up to 2 minutes. And we have anyone here that would like to speak podiums here. Please come up and give your name and address. Is there anyone who would like to speak during the public comment period? Yes, sir. Mayor.
Will Haney, 316 Valley Court, Mount Pleasant. Thank you for putting this on the agenda. Thank you all for looking at it. I see some familiar faces here today from Andy Laura Lane. I appreciate going over the long-term plan for what's going on there. I was over there a week before last and can tell you that the most immediate issue that I think is affecting people is the amount of dust that comes from there. I saw it and I experienced it. It comes like smoke through the trees. So regardless of long-term plans, long-term solutions, and I spoke with the town administrator about this, I think he's got some ideas. If there's anything we can do to cut down on that, I think the livability of that area will greatly improve. And I appreciate y'all going over the long-term plans. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Could anyone else like to be heard? Yes, sir, come on up.
Good morning, my name is Pat Gillespie. I live at 2182 Amy Laura Lane. I'd like to stress again the fact that we have a lot of problems caused by the transfer station, and we foresee more problems in the future with the maintenance garage being built on our right behind our street again. Causes a lot of noise. We have a lot of air pollution, as the mayor just said, and we're not getting any relief. And I see no reason why we should keep on doing this and why we have to suffer when our city, our town, created the situation we have on our street. Our street, over a long-term period of the last, going on probably about 12 years, has experienced growth because city council has approved annexations, new developments, paved our street. I mean, it's just unbelievable. But we were under the impression this was going to stop at some future point. It seems now that we're in an improvement, and this is never going to stop. My real question is, why did the people at 10 Mile, when the town bought the old Berkeley Electric, why were they able to speak up and stop the transfer station being moved up there? And here we have a whole street of people, and we can't get any recognition and get this taken care of. You don't need a transfer station. You could haul trash direct. Yes, you might have a couple more bucks you're going to spend, but why do we have to suffer at your convenience? That's, you know, public service is just convenience, no more. Because basically what they're looking at is being prompt on service. So if you're already prompt on service, you want to get rid of the trash as quickly as possible. So you bring them right into our backyard, and we have to endure this constantly. Thank you for your time this morning.
Thank you, sir. Would anyone else like to speak? Yes, ma'am.
Good morning. My name is Liz Sartori, and I live at 2165 Amy Laura Lane. And I'd like to thank the mayor for coming to our little street. But I'd like to also add that this is not only an annoyance, it's a health issue. I was diagnosed with Sjogren's disorder, which is an autoimmune, which causes dry eyes and dry mouth. And one thing my dry eye doctor at MBSC this year told me is to avoid dust. I go outside and it just exacerbates my disorder. So I can't enjoy the reason I moved down to South Carolina last July. And it's very frustrating. So it's not only an annoyance, it's a health issue. So I ask that you all consider and really take this under advisement in terms of what you look to the improvements in terms of the dust. The noise is a problem, and I understand the children also are afraid of that. But taking the totality of the circumstances. Thank you.
Would anyone else like to be heard?
Good morning. My name is Angie, and I live at 2170 in New Orleans. So my biggest concern, in addition to the pollution, is the noise. I can hear it from the inside of my house on a daily basis. I can hear it always on the outside of my house. And if it's okay, I can play a little video clip. It's like 20 seconds from my phone, so you can just have an idea. Lots of video clips like that. I just wanted to give you an idea. And there are mornings where it's like at 6:50 a.m. and I'm hearing this. And there's lots of beeps. And it's very scary to always hear this when you're inside your home. And it kind of feels like there's like maybe bombs going off, or is it thunder and lightning? I'm not sure. But it definitely, quality of life's been going on for a long time. And my son just wanted to stand here and support with me because it's
definitely Mommy, 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 Mommy. Thank you. Thank you. Would anyone else like to hear?
Good morning. I'm Andrew Jashowski. I live at 2170. Yeah, these are my kids. We brought them here. I should be at work this morning, but I'm here with you guys. I try to work from home. I'm a tech recruiter, and the mental health aspect of the tractors beeping and the noise throughout my house. There's only one room in my house where I can barely hear. So the noise is the biggest factor for me. Been going on, it's got worse. It's got worse on the ground. Right there on our street has been approved residential. There are all sorts of new houses on the street. Some neighbors don't even know about it yet. They're not going to be happy either. Again, I don't really have any faith you guys are actually going to do anything. It's been about 5 years of us complaining. But, you know, maybe I'm wrong. Eric Morris here. Went through one of my emails a couple of years ago. But, yeah, there's no barrier. There's no sound barrier. There's no air barrier. There's giant tractors dumping heavy loads on steel trucks all day long. And it's very upsetting. So I just wanted to report it.
Thank you. Would anyone else like to hear? Okay, hearing none, we'll move on to the review of the improvements to the Public Services Operations Center. Mr. Weiss.
Good morning, committee. Today I'm going to talk about give an overview of the Public Services Operations Center. Some background on the site. The town purchased the property in 1963 originally, and then the town purchased an additional portion in 2003. Which we call kind of the southernmost portion of the property. The boundaries have shifted several times over the years due to the development and then the construction of Sweetgrass Passing Parkway. At one point, the site was a landfill, but I don't have the actual dates of operation for that landfill. It did serve as a landfill at one point. And in 1997, South Carolina DHEC permitted it as a Class 2 transfer yard. Prior to it being permitted as a transfer yard, town conducted grinding operations there where we basically collected the vegetation and shipped it in the mulch. The location of the transfer yard within the property moved in 2009 as a portion of the property was sold. These pictures here, the upper left-hand corner shows the earliest interjected line. It's from 1994 that shows the town's six-mile facility. In 2004, the image to the right, top right, shows the expanded property after the town purchased the southern portion in 2003. The bottom left is an image from 2009, and this is when the transfer yard moved from the upper portion of property to the center portion here where the cursor is now. This site was 29.46 acres originally, and then the image on the bottom right, it shows it in 2012, which shows as a portion was sold and the construction of Sweetgrass Basket Parkway. The northern portion here, where the cursor is now, is 13.15 acres, and the southern portion is 9.28 acres, for a total of 22.43. So with the construction of Sweetgrass and that, we lost about 7 acres for the facility. These images just show the same area from 2015 through the latest imagery of 2021. Shows the property configuration really hasn't changed. However, you know, it does show the increased construction around the property. 6 miles is a very critical facility for the town. There's three major operating facilities that the town uses. And the town hall here on the south side of town, the six-mile facility in the central part of town, and then the Lehman Road facility on the north side of town. These are critical to supporting daily operations as well as crisis operations, either due to man-made or natural disasters. It's especially critical for the Public Services Department. The Public Services Department is built to support across the town. We're not broken into districts or areas like the Fire and Police Department. We have to cover the whole town. And being centrally located is key for us. It allows us to provide timely support across the entire area of town. In 2017, the Public Services Department initiated a master plan concept for public services facilities. This included the 6 mile facility and the Lehman Road facility. There have been minimal changes to these facilities since the 1980s. And the intent was to allow the town's public services facilities to catch up with the growth within the town so we could continue to provide the expected level of services that the residents have. Based off of the master plan, the town could currently afford to basically build three phases of the plan. And it consists of the admin building, which will provide workspaces and office spaces for the department staff, the fleet maintenance building, which places a much smaller, antiquated facility that struggles to keep up with the fleet maintenance needs of the town, and then a transfer yard, which will enhance our ability to contain the noise and dust that's created currently, and it also will meet current and projected environmental standards and regulations. Future phases for the project at 6 Mile consist of material storage areas, warehouse storage areas, covered parking for capital equipment and a larger fueling facility. And then at Lehman Road, you're looking at satellite office space, fuel island, warehouse storage space, covered parking for capital equipment and bulk materials. The improvements made to these properties will make our operations much more efficient. They will make our facilities much, much more functional, and they will be more aesthetically pleasing with the look and feel of Mount Pleasant that's been adopted. The overall master planning prices for these facilities at 6 Mile was $64 million. In Lehman Road, you're looking at $6 million for a total of about $70 million total. This gives an overview image of the Lehman Road facility. I'm not going to dwell on this very long because it's not the focus of the presentation. We've master planned this facility, but we have not done the design or the detailed planning for it because it's not lined up for construction as of yet. The 6 Mile facility, which is shown on this image, basically outlines the three phases we're doing and shows the future phases. Phase one is the transfer yard area in the bottom right-hand corner of the image. Phase two is the admin building, which is the top right-hand corner of the property. And then phase three will be the fleet maintenance building on the bottom left-hand part of the property. This is an artist's depiction of what the admin building will look like. This is a depiction of what the fleet maintenance building will look like. And this is what the transfer yard will look like. Current construction timelines, due to the design, the permitting, and the effects of COVID on construction, you know, across the country, we've slid right several times, but we're currently started, our plan to start on August 8th. The week of August 8th, the construction company should be out there saving the area. Silt fence will be installed on August 15th. Storm drain structures will plan to arrive on September 5th, and we expect the project to take 22 months for completion. For the construction, site work will be done across the entire property, and then the three phases will start. The transfer yard will be the focus, phase two will be the admin building, and phase three will be the fleet maintenance facility. But once the site work is done, a lot of these phases will occur concurrently. So with the intent of not waiting for one to be completed to move on to the next, we'll be under construction on all three phases at a point in time. Some of the concerns that were brought up by the residents both today and at the council meeting last month, I wanted to address. Residents have stated that they haven't been heard. And I think we tried to work their concerns into our plan. I know past councils have met with them. Councils have come and they've asked us questions, and we've tried to build a better facility that answers those needs. With that, the way we designed the transfer yard, we think will alleviate some of the concerns the best we can. We worked with the design team, and we tried to develop a thing that will meet all operational requirements, yet make the environment better for the surrounding residents. And the council's approved that, and it's basically going to cost the town about $30 million. To give them a facility, give the town a facility that will meet the operational requirements and make the area around the facility nicer. People say that it's not environmentally friendly or it doesn't meet environmental standards. The current transfer yard is permitted by DHEC, and it does get regularly inspected by DHEC. I actually met the mayor out there a week or two ago, and we were walking the area and looking at it, and DHEC was actually there doing an inspection. The current or the new facility had to be approved by DHEC, and we had to submit a modification permit, and they approved the new transfer yard as well as the temporary movement of the existing transfer yard within the property so the new one can be built. That's all been approved by DHEC already, so they've deemed it to be environmentally credible. The noise pollution currently, it's an open lot where things are dumped. The new facility will have three walls in a row, so it should contain a lot of noise and hopefully make that situation better. The air pollution, again, the current facility consists of an open lot where there will be dust. The new facility will be concrete, asphalt, and large rocks, so the dust should be contained or not be created. As the mayor mentioned, we are working on some ways to try to alleviate some of the dust now until the construction is completed. And we're going to try to start putting that into effect this week by taking some of our water tanks and trying to suppress the dust in the area. I think it's been worse lately because we haven't had a lot of rain. This picture shows kind of what we currently have with the vacuum pad and the transfer operations. That building should alleviate a lot of concerns and some of the issues that are plaguing the site right now. Residents also brought up rodents at the council meeting. There's no garbage or food that's dumped at this location. It's all vegetation and bulk trash. So there shouldn't be anything there that's contributing to rodents gathering in the area. But what is contributing to that is the areas, the buffer is woods and some of its wetlands. So that's what's contributing to the rodent population in the area. Transfer yard is permitted to operate weekdays 7 to 5, and that's what we try to stay within, and weekends as needed. This has been adjusted occasionally for storm events and things like that, but these are the hours that we should be operating. The resident today and the council mentioned Deacon Road as a transfer yard and why they were allowed to speak up and it was not there wasn't moving up there. There was never a plan to move it to Deacon Road. The master plan from day one has left the transfer yard at 6 Mile. There's no operational reason to move it to Deacon Road. It would basically take it out of the central location in town and put it on the north end. So it would make our job a lot harder to collect and have to take stuff from the south end of town all the way up to the north end. So operationally, it never made sense to move it up there, and it was never considered. They also talked about buffers at council, and 30-foot is the required buffer for this type of property. And we're meeting that, if not exceeding it, on that side of the property. Behind the fleet maintenance building, we're going to have 53-55-foot buffers. Behind the fleet maintenance parking area, it is only 30 foot. And then by the transfer yard, it's 105 foot to 107 foot. And this graphic shows those buffers. The yellow line on the upper part of the graphic is where the buffer has to be. And then you can see the red line is where, you know, the extent of the buffer. So we're exceeding it just about all locations on the property. Some of the residents have stated that there's no need for a transfer yard. Last month, I gave an overview of Waste Management Division operations. And we collect both municipal solid waste, which is your household garbage, and that does go straight to the landfill. But we also collect construction and demolition debris and vegetation. And that comes to the transfer yard. Over the last year, April 1 to April 1, the town collected 8,376 tons of CND and more bulk items and 16,099 tons of vegetative debris. It's about 80 or 100 tons of collection a day. Without the transfer yard, all that would have to go straight to the landfill, which would be a 2-hour round trip and 50 miles. If we were to do that, the town would not be able to collect vegetation and bulk items weekly. We'd be probably lucky to collect it monthly. Or we would need significant resources in order to collect it daily, or to collect it each week. At council, some of the residents mentioned that there was no need for a transfer yard. They talked to other public works directors and they said it's ridiculous that we have one. I reached out to North Charleston and Charleston, municipalities of comparable size and the scope of the problem. And both of them were jealous that we have a transfer yard. I mean, that was the first statement where Charleston made, you got one, I'm jealous. They said they had one, but North Charleston sold it, and now they've regretted it since day one. It really takes away their flexibility for their operations. When I talked to the city of Charleston, they said they don't have one, and we currently go to the landfill, but they are looking at options to purchase one. Problem is finding the property and then being able to afford it. But the other large municipalities in the area regret not having a transfer yard, and it gives us a great operational capability to provide the level of service that residents expect from the public services department. With that, that concludes my presentation. If there's any questions.
Any questions of committee?
I'm out of the Walk that area less than 2 years ago or so. And I noticed that a lot of the buffer looked like it had been cut back from the other side. In other words, from the anti-oral side, it looked like some of that buffer had been cut back. And I talked to the realtor who was selling property over there because houses weren't built there yet. And I asked her if she was telling people that there's a transfer facility there. Her comment was, hey, it's due diligence. They need to find out for themselves. I don't have to tell them. You know, if one was coming there, then I would have to tell them. But one's already there, then it's due diligence for them to know what's around them, where they're buying the property. And that was the kind of comment I got from the realtor. So our facility was there long before many of these houses were built. And so, you know, they came in into the neighborhood, and some of them, I think, even cleared some of their backyard area, some of their buffer area. Not on them to make bigger backyards, but I think by doing that, it's enabled probably more sound to come through and maybe some more of this dust or whatever. So I was really surprised. I got a call one time that there was the transfer facility was having smoke come out over in their neighborhood. And so when we looked into it, we found out it was actually a car lane that somebody had put oil into the wrong area and smoke came out. And so, but they were blaming, you know, our facility for it. So I think it's been getting a bad rap all along. But years ago, it was rural around there. There was nobody around there. And so they built close to our facility now. So I like the plan that y'all have done. I think you put a lot into it. I feel bad for the people who bought there and maybe weren't told that the facility was there, or I'm not sure why they didn't know it was there when they bought it. But I'm kind of with you as far as I like what the town's doing. I like the plans that it looks like y'all are doing. I think it's going to help tremendously with the noise and with the dust and all that's going to be there.
Ms. Corley.
Thank you, Andy. That was super informative. I could see how another municipality would be jealous of that. I mean, purchasing that kind of land, plopping down in the middle of anywhere in Mount Pleasant right now, I think would be super difficult. Thank God. So we purchased it in 1963, turned it that group purchase as a transfer yard in 1997.
Yes, ma'am.
And do we know about how many houses were there when this happened and how many there are now?
Based off of county property records, ma'am, this slide is something we put together based off of the county property records. Okay. And with it, I believe when the transfer yard was moved to that side of the town or that side of the property, there were three houses that were built on bordering the property.
Okay.
And since then, two of them have sold. So there's one that has been there since prior to 2009, but still under the same owners. This does show that there's, on the whole block, there's three houses that have either, that haven't sold, that were constructed before the transfer yard was moved. According to the county records, they changed ownership or in some way, shape, or form since 2009. Everything but three of them has been either sold, transferred ownership, or built has since 2009 when the transfer yard was moved to that side of the property.
So we could then say that maybe 99% of residents who are living there bought this for the lots, knowing there was a transfer station.
With the transfer yard in its current spot.
And have they seen this presentation?
No.
Or is this the first time?
No, this is the first time they've seen it.
This is, like I said, super informative. So
there
now
there have been other presentations in the past at different committee meetings and that. So, but we actually produced this slide on Friday.
Now the dust is starting to make sense. I have been wondering. I assumed the dust was coming from fire, right? Just but no, it's basically just
it's the dirt and the type of debris. If you go over there and look at the vegetation, when they pick up a bag or whatever to load the truck, when they dump it, the bag breaks. You know, there's dust that can come out of the bags. The way the transfer yard will operate is, or scout trucks will back up to the covered building and dump it. And then it will then get loaded within the covered storage. So the excavator will pick it up within the covered building and put it into the semi-trucks. Therefore, any dust created should be contained within that building.
And then you answered my other question about the whole room idea. And can you just, I think you went over, can you just give me like a, why the transfer station again?
As I said, ma'am, we collect 80 to 100 tons, or 100 tons of vegetation and bulk items a day. If that had to hit, when we pick up garbage, you know, we empty the cans into a garbage truck. The garbage truck compacts the garbage, and so you can pick up a whole neighborhood in one garbage truck, and then take it to the landfill, and then dump, and then come back. With the vegetation and the bulk items, we run our loader with generally two scout trucks, and one goes for vegetation and one goes for bulk items. In the spring, I could fill up a whole scout truck in three houses or four houses, and then we would have to take, that truck would have to drive to the landfill and dump. On the C&D side, the landfill has issues where if it rains, you can't dump C&D because the trucks get stuck at the landfill. So this allows us to get the trash and the vegetation off of the streets within Mount Pleasant, bring it to the transfer yard. And then the point of the transfer yard is we dump our smaller trucks there, and then we contract a carrier to load it into a bigger truck and take it to the facility. If we had to do that ourselves, it would be, you know, lots of trip, 50 miles round trip to dump one truck, where the contractor can take at least six of our trucks in one.
Nice.
So it gains us a lot of efficiency.
And then my last question is with the hours, that's just, there's no wiggle room with the hours. Is that something that?
It's part of the permit. So that is, you know, that those are the hours I believe that are in the permit. But we, the town, we collect from 7 to, you know, the town works basically 7 to 4:30. With waste management, if they get done early, we stop collecting. We don't move on to the next route till the next day. So there's nothing saying that goes all the way till 4:30 or 5 o'clock each day.
I was just thinking maybe 8 o'clock may help that.
Our guys will leave the yard at 7,
right,
usually. So, you know, by the time they get their first loads, you know, it depends where they're collecting in town on those days as far as when the first trucks get back to the yard.
Well, this was a very informative presentation, and I think it addressed every single thing we're getting here via email and in person from the residents. And I feel like this is going to be super helpful and really help them to have a better livability conditions. Those are my thoughts. So thank you again.
I've got a couple questions myself. I heard the mayor say that maybe we could do something with water with the transfer yard, and there was some indication that that's going to happen.
And yes, sir.
Explain to the residents how that's going to be done and when that's going to be done.
Yes, sir. We have two water trailers that we can fill up, and what we're going to do is try to bring over and then hose down the area or spray down the area and try to keep the dust down. It is a common practice on construction sites as well. The town kind of enforces at construction sites, so that should take place during construction of our facilities as well. But we think that will help keep the dust down. I do believe it's probably worse than it has been in the past because we just haven't had a lot of rain. There's probably a significant change after days that it rains and days that it doesn't rain. But we've looked at the options and we think we can do that starting this week.
And you will do it periodically during the day?
Yes, sir.
My second question is, what is the zoning of this facility now?
Sir, the zoning is PI 2, which is public institutional 2. And the definition of that is the purpose of basically what that gap says PI 2, public institutional 2 district. It is the purpose of this section to recognize that certain public, civic, and institutional support uses and activities of a generally high level of intensity are necessary and proper for the conduct of a civilized society. Such uses being characterized as more industrial in nature and consisting of public works and sanitation sites and facilities, treatment facilities, lay down yards and open lot storage of materials, heavy equipment, and vehicles and the like. And that in the proper context, such uses may exist with the least amount of harm to other neighboring uses. It is likewise the intent of this district to establish in a general sense the parameters in which these uses may operate in order to provide their benefits with as little burden upon surrounding properties and uses as possible. So it's zoned for exactly what we use it for. And as I've stated, we've tried to incorporate into our design to make it have minimal impact on surrounding.
And then finally, the town is spending in excess of $30 million. It didn't have to, first of all, to respond to concerns of the residents in the area. And that's a lot of money for any town, but certainly a lot for us. Second, we have not made any major improvements to our public services facilities since the 1980s. That's a long time ago, and a lot has happened since then. I think we need to continue to listen to the residents and receive comments, but I think we've responded to both now as well as in the future of what concerns may come up. The fact that we're going to be doing maintenance on the vehicles inside a building is covered. I think we'll cut down on that. It's number one. Certainly the noise issue by having an enclosed three-sided transfer will substantially improve that. And there may be some other things we can do in the future as needed to try to block out some of that noise. So I want to thank the administrator and the public service director, current and previous, on listening to what the concerns were, recognizing that there's been a lot of change in the area, but still attempting to do everything we can to make this facility the best we can for our operations as well as protect the lives and concerns of residents. And thank you for the presentation, Mr. Wallace.
Yes, sir.
Is there anything else to come before the committee? Hearing none, we'll adjourn.